Wow. Well, church, this morning we are blessed with Vanya Bule, my friend from school years ago. But Vanya is a blessing. You're in for a treat this morning. Vanya's been ministering over 18 years, partnered with CBN, and just received. Can we give her a warm new welcome? New life welcome. God bless you.
Here, I'm just going to pray in the beginning. Gospodine moj, ja te zahvaljujem za ovo jutro i hvala ti za ono što radiš, Bože moj. Ja te molim da ispuniš moja usta, Gospodine, tvojim pomazanjem i svaka riječ koja iziđe da bude od tebe, Gospodine, da bude dvostruki mač, Gospodine, da dođe do nas, do svakog od nas koji treba da primi na način na koji treba da primimo, Bože moj. Lord, I surrender, Lord God, everything that it's on this paper, Lord God, and I pray that it will be a double-edged sword, that it will be a table that we will feast on, Lord God, that each one of us will receive what we need, Lord God, for our lives and for where you are taking us. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Vanya Bule, and it's a V-A-N-J-A, and I get to be called Vanja often in America. Actually, I was talking to Pastor Doug yesterday, and we talked about Siri, and I'm not using Siri often. Less after this happened. And what happened is that I asked Siri, what's my name? And she said, your name is Vanya Bule, but since we are friends, I get to call you Vanja. Siri has an attitude. So I'm like, forget you, Siri. We are not hanging out anymore. So anyhow, it's been really good this past couple of days. Gala was amazing. I have to tell you, I have to be honest, I was really tired. I wasn't really planning to come. But a couple of days before getting on that flight, I started thinking about all the people that I'm going to see and all the coffees I'm going to drink. And then excitement, adrenaline kicked in. And so I'm really happy to be here. And already the Lord has been speaking. And Gala was amazing. The sermon, Rita, I was like, okay, you said it, you put an exclamation mark, let's go home. Let me go back to Croatia. But I trust that the Lord has so much more for us during these days and even today. So I am a CBN Balkan Regional Director. I serve in the Balkans. Balkans is a Southeast Europe. If you're not familiar with the map, you find Italy. We are just across. It's a nation and the regions. Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, that's been really, like they call it, a boiling pot of Europe. They can tip any moment. So we really need a lot of prayer. We do a lot of Operation Blessing, food relief, ministries and projects, Orphans Promise, where we work and focus on the Roma community. One Roma community where I live in the capital, it's how about 100 people, no electricity, no water, a lot of illiteracy. We try to reach the next generation, and so we do a lot of preschool and after school program. We just recently taught one mother to write her name, only her name, after 29 years of just living 10 minutes away in a major European city from the center. So that's what we do. One of the major and the tool that I rave most about is definitely Superbook and my best friend Gizmo, if you know him. I don't have a photo of my friend, but I'm sure you know him. He goes before us, really. God used that tool to open many doors in the Balkans. And so for the last couple of years, Superbook has been additional material in the Catholic educational system in the public schools, which opens us and gives us opportunity to go into the public schools and do Christmas programs, Easter programs. And right now we are talking with Serbia and Orthodox Church, and I hope and pray in the next year we're going to be in more than 5,000 schools. And if you know Balkan and if you know our situation, that is really something to clap about. So The needs are overwhelming, but the needs are also the harvest. And so we really need workers. We are praying and asking God to send us workers because it gets overwhelming. And that's why we are here, all of us, all the global workers, to mobilize you in every way that God is calling you. If you were part of this conference, this might be like, you know, Jesus' words when he said, "Verily, verily, I say to you." So there will be a lot of repetition, but that is good. We're going to remember and do something about it. So the word is from the Matthew. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. So I'm going to read it. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest." So the first thing we see is that Jesus saw the multitudes. He saw the harvest. In Greek, there are a few words that describe seeing. And in John 6, we can see some of them. We see Jesus healing and feeding the multitudes. And there are three groups of people there. And there are three groups of people here today. And there are ones that see the bread, and they see the bread multiplied. They see the sick healed. And they say, okay, that's a fact. This guy did not see, now he sees again. There were two breads, now there are 5,000 fed. So they see with the physical eyes. And that's all they see. The second group, they see the feeding, they see the miracles, and they attribute meaning to it. They say, there is a sign. Something is happening here. And then there is a third group. They are seeing and they are recognizing Messiah. They are recognizing a prophet. They are seeing with the physical eyes. They see the meaning. They see it's a sign, but they go beyond that. They see it's a sign of the Messiah. That prophet is among us. So the verse says, when people saw signs which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." It says in John. And the Greek word for that kind of seeing is chorao. That means recognizing the truth that you are seeing around you. Jesus saw the multitudes. He chorao the multitudes. He had a vision of the multitudes, not just with the physical eyes, but he was grasping the truth. That is that type of, that's the meaning of that word. It's experiencing what's happening around you. It is perceiving, it is to see spiritually, the spiritual reality. It is knowing. When seeing becomes knowing, that's how Jesus saw the multitudes. This is how he saw the harassed and the helpless. He saw the harvest. He did not see dry bones. He saw an army. He saw those graves opening up, an army standing up. That's how he saw the lame and the sick and the blind around him. He saw an army. When he chose disciples, he did not see just fishermen. He saw an apostles. When he saw Gideon, he didn't see a guy hiding. He saw a judge that will lead his nation into deliverance. When he saw Paul, he did not see a persecutor. He saw an apostle that will write 2/3 of this Bible that we have today. He saw chorao, he saw with a vision, experiencing and knowing what he's seeing. Where are we? What is our sight like? And this is where we stumble. In John 4, Jesus says, "Lift up your eyes and see the white fields. They are ready for the harvest." It is the first step. It is the first step. And maybe some of you, and maybe none of you, I hope some of you will go to Mongolia in June or Bosnia and Serbia in August. But each one of us can stop and say, what is my eyesight? Each one of us can take a correction if needed. Remember church in Laodicea in the Revelation. They said, oh, we are good to go. We have nice clothes. We are rich. We can see. We are satisfied. This pandemic is a major crisis. It's a global crisis. It has revealed a lot. It has revealed a lot about the state of our churches. Some left, some new came. It has revealed a lot about the state of our own hearts and where our trust is. Don't you think so? It revealed a lot about our foundation. Can we take the storm? Can our house, is it on the strong foundation? Is it on the rock or it's on the sand? Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, take from me the gold, take from me the white clothes, and take from me the salve and touch your eyes so that you can see. You must be brave enough to allow God to touch your eyes so you can see. You need to brave for that. Be brave for that. Because who knows? Maybe you end up in Serbia in August or Mongolia in June. Who knows where the Lord is going to take you? You know, when you're not, you don't see, you're not responsible. The moment you see, you're responsible for what God is showing you. It takes courage for God to touch our eyes, to ask Him, and He will answer that prayer. That we may know, in order for us to know what the Spirit is saying. It is risky, it is brave, but it is the only way. It is risky, it is brave, but it is the only way. Jesus saw the next thing. Jesus was moved by compassion. Only when we see how Jesus saw, we can be moved. Jesus, he was overwhelmed by what he saw. He did not feel compassion. Compassion is a noun. He was moved by compassion. It was an action. It's a verb. It says compassion, the word inward part. This is where you feel compassion. Not here, not in your words. Oh, I'm sorry about you. No, it comes from here, in your heart, in your lungs, in your liver, in your kidneys. It says in the Psalm 139 that He has created our kidneys. This is where the compassion is. When He put your kidney in, He put His compassion for the world, for the lost. Inside of us, it's a gut level emotions. It is where wailing comes from the inward parts. And then you can't sit still. You can't sit still. You have to do something. It is risky, it is brave, but it is, church, the only way. You have to do something when you feel that kind of compassion. But what did Jesus do? He called His disciples. And if you check those chapters, you see that those multitudes, those people, those sick, He did not see the first time. In Matthew 8:18, it says that He saw the multitudes and He started healing them. He started touching them. He started meeting their needs. And then He took a break for those traveled all across the lake to touch those two demonized men. And then He came back. And the crowd was still there. And then it says, our scripture, He saw the multitudes. Again, the same people. But this time, He called disciples. The same need, a different strategy. Sometimes we go. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes we pay. Sometimes we support. Sometimes we raise those who go. Sometimes we mentor those who go. It's a different strategy, but it is the same need. It is the same commission. It is the same great commandment. And you and I need to find ourselves in it. Wherever, whatever that part is, you have to know today. Tomorrow, if you don't know, seek Him. What is my part in this great commission? We have to do something. We have to see, and we have to be moved. He called His disciples. He saw it. He was moved. He called His disciples. He called them to pray. He called them to an encounter. Prayer is always an encounter. He understands that they don't see. He understands that we don't see. That's why He's calling us to that place. On our knees, at His feet, before His face. That's the place where we get vision. That's the place of change, at his feet, on our knees, before his face. He's reeling them in to receive vision in order to commission them, in order to be moved by compassion into action, to fulfill the great commandment. Prayer is the encounter that changes everything. When we think about Bible heroes, when we think about Hagar, when we think about how God found him in the desert, when we think about Moses at the burning bush, when we think about all these men and women who had an encounter and changed nations and changed histories, changed the generations around them and beyond. Encounter is powerful. This is where change happens. This is where God is thrusting you out, is egbaloing you into the world. Each one of us have moments like that when we had an encounter with God. And if we had this platform, each one of us could name places and times when we remember where God touched us, where God corrected us, where God sent us, where God stopped us, where God healed us. Those are encounters. It's a ripple effect that changes nations and histories. And God wants you and God wants me. And we need a fresh encounter, church. Yeah. We are tired. These last 2 years were difficult. We need a fresh encounter. I need a fresh encounter before I'm thrust again, before I'm sent out again, before I am driven by love. Again, we need to be driven by love, not by task lists, not by people, not by fear, not by guilt, not by success, none of that. Driven by love. Pandemic was difficult. Maybe it's time for inventory. Maybe it's time for recalculation. Maybe it's time for a new normal. We are not going back to the old normal. The old normal is gone. We are in the new normal, and we need to find ourselves in the new normal. What is my task? What is for me to do in this time and season? It starts with stopping. That's what the encounter is, before we move forward, allowing him to find us where we are. Where you are, locating you. It's like when you press on the phone, my location, this is where you are. That's the place where you're gonna find out your GPS location, spiritual GPS location, at his feet, on your knees before his face. You need to allow him to find you where you are. Do not run away. He can see you. If we go to the other parts of the world, on the other side of the sea, his right hand would uphold me. He says in a psalm, even if you are in the desert under Jupiter tree, like Elijah, or you are keeping someone else's sheep on the other side of the world, serving someone else's vision, doing just a job, business as usual, as Moses, or like Gideon hiding in the threshing floor, or like Hagar in that desert, when God says, what are you doing here, Hagar? And I love her. She just says, I'm running away. I'm running away. How many will come and say, I'm running away? Because that's what so many of us do. We are running away in our everyday life, business as usual, and things like this. We are running away, and God wants to find us. God wants to meet us wherever we are. He wants to encounter, have an encounter with us. He wants to touch our eyes and touch our heart in a fresh and new way, to the point of action, to receive vision in order we can be moved, moved by compassion into action, to commission and fulfill the great commandment that he has appointed us with. Now, those were his last words. Those are important words. Jesus says, come to the well. Come to the well. I'm there. I'm waiting with the water, living water. Come, even if it's at the noontime, even if you are running away, come, I will be there. To the church in Ephesus, he says, you're doing so much good, but you forgot your first love. Repent, return, and start doing the first things. Otherwise, Jesus says, I will remove the lampstand. I will remove your light. And church, what are we without the light? Church, what are we? We are not salty, if we are not hungry, if we are not going. It is risky, it is brave, but it is the only way. Jesus gives them the exact words. After calling them and telling them to pray, he gives them what to pray. He says, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send forth urgently to Ekbalo workers into the harvest. It's like a telegraph from the front lines. Beseech the Lord. We need more supplies. Beseech them. It's urgent. He says beseech. It means the word is beg. The word is beg, to plead, to put under obligation the one you are asking. Are we asking? Are we praying like that, the Lord of the harvest? Are we begging? Are we putting him under obligation that he cannot do anything but answer? It's passion. It comes out of the need. Remember the widow at the door in the middle of the night. What do you want? Or the Jericho's beggar. Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say, son of David, if you have time to stop by. You know, I really have this need that I was thinking about. He's begging, he's blind, he's crying out, everybody's stopping him, but he would not be stopped. He's begging, that's the word. He's beseeching Son of David to touch his eyes. Are we beseeching the Lord of the harvest to send our workers? Are we yelling yet? Are we yelling yet? The Lord of the harvest, he is the Lord of the harvest and the senders. He is dispatch center. He has everything ready for us, even for us to answer the call. And there is the word ekbalo. Ekbalo, to thrust out, to push someone out with force, suddenly, with motion, compel. That's what Jesus are telling us. That's how we need workers to go. Not for vacation. Even though vacations are good, in order to fulfill this great commandment, we will need more passion than that. My example, I was thrust out when I was 20 into Bosnia. The pastor left me a key. Tomorrow he said, there's a truck coming with food and clothes. Goodbye. All I, in one hand was keys, the other one was waving. And I was like, Lord, if you don't do something, we are in trouble. You know, and 18 years I lived in that country, and the Lord changed me. I stepped out. It was a short time. It was just 2 months during the summer between the schools, between my Bible school in the summer, like a summer practicum. But I kept coming back and back. So maybe you're wondering, oh, I cannot go and give my life, you know, 18 years in Bosnia. You don't need to, but maybe you can go for the mission trip. Maybe you can pray. Maybe you can talk to a missionary. Who knows what the Lord has for you to fulfill your calling into this great commandment. Thrust out. It's the word for casting out demons. It implies force, urgency, and violence, but still rooted in love. And you wonder how? Well, look at the cross. Look at the cross, act of violence and act of ultimate love. Ultimate love. The kingdom of God is for the brave, for the strong, for the unstoppable. It is risky, it is brave, it is the only way. And the last thing Jesus says in his prayer, he says, pray for the workers. He gives them the word workers. And I have a friend in Bosnia, her name is Dina, and she's watching me now. She's a pastor of the church, and she told me recently, last week, she says, Vanya, we need workers. I'm going to pray every Sunday. I will pray every Sunday until we have him, until we have her, until we have families come. We need workers. We are desperate for workers. There are people on the other side of the world praying for you to stand and answer that call. Workers work. Disciples go. If we don't work, are we the workers? If we don't go, are we disciples? So who will go? Who will become an answer to Dina's prayer? Who will become an answer to the prayer from Isaiah 6 when God is saying, who will go for us? Who will answer to Jesus' compassion and his broken heart over the nations? Who will be moved as he was moved with compassion? Who will see as he saw? Who will go as he came to us? Who will love as he loved? And at the end, I want to show you the heart. This is a Christmas decoration from Croatia. And this really represents the heart of God. There is a more romantic story, but I can tell you later on my booth, my desk. And anyhow, so this is the heart of God. And when I give it to you, I say in it, it says there is the answer to all these questions. And when you receive it, there is a little mirror. You see it and look at it and it says, it is me. I am the answer. I will go. Jesus saw the multitudes. Jesus was moved. He called his disciples. He charged them to pray. Then he made them an answer to their own prayers. Disciples became workers. Finally, he sent them out with the instructions, with the authority, with the promise that he will be there until the ends of the earth, with the good news in our hands. I am to go. It is clear in the end of this sermon and of what Jesus is saying to his disciples. I am to go. I am to become the answer to Dina's prayer. I am to look at God's heart and see my face. I am to answer God's question in Isaiah 6 when he says, who will go for us? That I say, I will go. I am to be moved. I am to see. I am to experience Jesus' compassion, to see it in my liver and my kidneys. I am to see his broken heart over the multitudes and go. I am to be Ekbalo by love, because if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? It is risky, it is brave, but church, it is the only way. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for this word, Lord God. I pray that it will be a seed in our lives, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord, that it will bring the harvest, Lord, that we will result in going, that it will result in giving, that it will result in praying. Thank you for this body of believers. I pray your blessing over them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow, what a powerful message. You talk about inspired. Well, church, as Vanya said, you know, some of us pray and some of us pay. And I love that because we all play a part in God's global vision. And one of the things that we have here at New Life is we have our grace giving. You know, we support as a church almost 30 global families all over the world. And we can't do that just from our church's budget. We rely, and our global workers also rely on your financial support. Right now, if you've ever taken a short-term trip, can you go ahead in the chat and just put the country that you've traveled to? I had the privilege of going to Guatemala with my daughter, who was 14 years old at the time, and we saw firsthand the devastation. You know, sometimes you hear about poverty, but it's one thing for you to hear about it. It's another thing for you to see it. And we went on a global trip with Megan De Aku and Eunice Barwell, some of our global workers here, and it was such a life-changing trip, so much so that the next year, my daughter asked, Mom, are we going to go back to Guatemala? And I said, I'm going to pray about it. And she said, well, I'm going. And she went without me. And God did a transformative work in her heart. And for many of you, if you've ever gone on a short-term trip, you know that you come back different. Some of you might not ever get the opportunity to go on a short-term trip, but we all have the opportunity to sow into our global workers. And so I want to encourage you, you can actually go on our website, newlife.global, right on the homepage. You'll be able to see our theme, Ekbalo. It looks something like this. And this is our missions booklet. If you are here in the local area and you want a copy of this booklet, you can come by any of the campuses and pick one up. But if you happen to go on our website, and like I said, just look for the Ekbalo theme, you will be able to see all of our global workers and their stories. You will also be able to see a link where you can give. You can designate exactly where you want your funds to go. If you want them to go to a specific global worker, or if you want want them to just go where it is most needed. And sometimes you're like, I have no idea where the needs are. Well, you can choose for it to just go to where it is most needed. Now, next week, we're actually going to have the formal invitation for you to give through our Grace Giving. But I want you to begin to think about that even now. Would you begin to just pray, Lord, where would you have my funds to go? And if there's no certain amount, church, you can give as little or as much as the Lord leads on your heart. But can we all commit as an online campus to give something? All of us can give something, and all of us can have our little seeds literally transform lives all over the world. You want to talk about heavenly rewards? That's a heavenly reward. And so again, you'll hear much more information on Grace Giving next Sunday, but I wanted to just go ahead and plant a little seed so that you know that we are pulling in the nets and we are engaging our entire church. No spectators. We can all do this together. So church, let me pray for you as we leave. I again hope that you've been inspired, but more so than being inspired, I hope that you are empowered to take your place in this work. So, Father God, I bless your people today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. God, we are so grateful to be able to partner with you, to be able to partner with heaven and seeing lives not only changed and transformed, but literally seeing souls saved, seeing people come to know you, seeing and hearing people hear the gospel for the very first time. What a privilege that is. Father, I bless our church family as they have listened today, as their hearts have been stirred, as Holy Spirit, you have challenged them for what is next. I pray, Lord, that this won't just be another Sunday, another good inspirational message, but that, Lord, you would continue to work on their hearts, Lord, this week, and that there would be a response in Jesus' name. So family, I bless you to be obedient to the call of God, whatever that call is. I bless you to obey with no reservations, and I bless you to receive all that God has for you as you step out in faith and do whatever he is calling you to do. When you came into the stream, guess what? You were blessed, and you still leave this stream doubly blessed because the grace, favor, and peace of the Lord is with you. So go forth in peace, church. We love you. We'll see you in the online campus Facebook group all week long where we can continue to have these conversations, and let's watch together what the Lord is going to do. Have a great week.